as I was trying to leave. So of course I forgot my packet.
Well, we got extras.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry?
You got time to fix your coffee?
I'll just get some water.
Okay. We've got a quorum, it's 9:05. We're gonna call it to meet in order.
Michael?
Present.
Sexton?
Here.
Straub? Taylor?
Here.
Carter?
Here.
Hugh?
Here.
Howard?
Present. Need approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Second, Michaels.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Need approval of the minutes for October 11th.
So moved.
Second, Carter.
Discussion on the minutes. Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Is there any public participation?
Nope, they're here for the kuats.
Any communication from the board?
I just want to say thank you to everybody. Thank you for all the things that you do and all the things that we're going to do in the future that, you know where I'm at, but Jeff, it's been wonderful.
It sure has.
I know I give you a hard time sometimes, but
no.
But I really appreciate everything that the department does, and I appreciate all my colleagues and the people that I've worked with for a long, long time. So I will miss you, but once again, thank you from the bottom of my heart.
We're definitely going to miss your professionalism with everything, too, so thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
I think you'll still be invited to the township party, though.
That's the only thing I was worried about, Jeff.
And I believe it's going to be on December 12th. I haven't gotten any official announcement yet, but Ricky Wolken told me yesterday that December 12th was the day. So if you want to pencil that in,
yep.
Everybody.
Okay, we appreciate Ms. Taylor's participation in the highway department and Ms. Ross's participation.
No, thank you.
Thanks.
And you got to have a cinnamon roll, because we got them for you.
Oh, well, then I will have it. Thank you.
Any more communication? Okay. Need approval of the County Township Motor Fuel Tax Claim for October 2024.
So moved, Carter.
Second, Michaels.
Open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Simple.
Next thing is our county engineer's report.
All right, item number 8, Kuats is here to talk about their seat carts annual service report. So take it away. Mm-hmm.
First and my last highway department sweet roll.
Yeah.
First and last. She started a list.
Yeah. I mean, mine too.
It's not your first, though.
No. Oh, no.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. So we've got our fiscal year 24 annual report for the Champaign County Area Rural Transit System, C-CARTS. I don't know if anybody remembers last year whenever I presented this. I know a lot more this year, and so that's really exciting. I was like, that's a win. So this is a quick overview of just what our fiscal year looks like. We break everything down into 4 quarters. And the background of C-CARTS, we began in 2011, started operating under Chris Rural Transit, which is based in Vermilion County, and in 2014, the service is now operating under CUMTD and has been operating and overseen by RPC, while being funded by FTA and IDOT grants, as well as with our service contracts with the Village of Ranchul and the recent contract with the University of Illinois Center for Transportation. We have two types of services. We see cars, we have a demand response. This is the curb-to-curb service that requires 2 days of heads up whenever wanting to reserve a ride, and it covers the entirety of Champaign County from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then we have our fixed route service that runs with the Village of Ranchul, as well as our Ranchul connector that connects Ranchul with Champaign, the terminal. And these vehicles operate from 5 a.m., 8 a.m., and then again in the evening, 3 o'clock until 6 o'clock to bring people back and forth from their jobs. And we've recently added additional stops to provide service for the ICT train facility in Ranchul that began in May this last year, and is still, we're still going strong until December, where we're going to be reassessing and seeing if they're still requiring the service. And we'll talk more about that in the presentation as well. C-cars, we have 11 vehicles. The average vehicle life is 7 years. That's been really pushed to the limit for the last couple of years. We have, I think, over half our fleet is over 250,000 miles. Yeah, and so I'll talk more about kind of where we are in the process of trying to get new vehicles, but that's something that me and Rita have really spearheaded this year to try and get a timeline and understanding of where we are with that. So these are current projects. We had been awarded a low no emissions grant for a replacement electric bus and a vehicle charger. That delivery has been delayed along with just everything. but we were awarded this last year in January 3 replacement vehicles through the CVP, the Consolidated Vehicle Procurement, that is through IDOT. And that's something we'll talk a little bit more with our 5339B grant funding. So that was awarded in fiscal year 2019, and we had really struggled with communicating with IDOT to figure out any real timeline of when we were going to be receiving those vehicles. Thankfully, me and Rita were able to work with the CVP director with IDOT, and we are now supposed to be receiving those 4 buses in the same timeline that we're receiving our CVP buses, which is a much more tangible timeline than if we were waiting to receive the contract still from the 5339B grant, which was going to be another year at least to try and find a vehicle, get all the procurement, everything for that. So that was a good win this last year. Hopefully we'll be looking to receive vehicles early spring. The CVP director with IDOT is the former HSCP director in my role for Champaign, and so she's been a really great help with really trying to help us out as much as she can in the process. And we've also been awarded 2 Rebuild Illinois grants, and we have 4 buses coming from those in total. We are still waiting on a similar timeline with the CVP. So fingers crossed that we're getting somewhere with this. Last year, we weren't able to say really any timeline. So at least now we think spring.
7 vehicles.
7, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, 12 that we have.
Awarded, yeah.
Right. Wow. 2019.
Right. 20, yeah. Stockpile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the only reason for getting those vehicles next spring, hopefully, is the person running the CVP program is from Urbana. She used to work for me.
Yeah.
She used to have that job.
Yeah. Good job.
No, she knows. Great.
Gotta have connections.
Right. And good relationships with people, too. Yeah. So that's awesome.
And she understands the situation.
Yeah.
We are providing service, but we're spending a lot of money in maintenance of vehicles. And instead of providing the service that we should provide.
Yeah, we had like 3 vehicles this year that needed complete engine rebuilds. Like almost $7,000 to $10,000. And it's each. And it's like, how do we weigh, knowing that we've been awarded these like double digits of these vehicles and like keeping the stuff that we have going. And I'll talk a little bit more about like what we, like our takeaways from this last year. We're thankful that the service ran as much as capacity as we could. So just a little bit about service contracts. We have a service contract with the Village of Ranchul that's existed since 2016. We have a DVA fixed route, and we just increased the number of years of the service, so we're not having to re-extend it. Yeah, two-year agreement, we've made it 3 years. And that's been going pretty positively. We added the ICT service this last May, and it was extended to 26, and it goes until the 20th of this December. We added the stops at the University of Goodwin intersection in Urbana recently because we were having issues with people, like, they would have to drive to Goodwin Square to then get on the bus and leave their cars there. And that's not ideal. So now at the University of Goodwin, they have the parking garage there for the engineering students already. So they're able to just leave their car on campus and not have to, you know, figure that out. And the service starts at 8 a.m. That just gives us the new midday schedule that we enacted with the new service contract that started in August. So we, not only in addition to like the morning trips and the evening trips, we started a midday part that allows students to, like, if you have a morning class, you can come back to, you know, campus. Or if you have, you know, an afternoon class, you can go to that and not have to spend all day there. So that's been, we've seen an uptick a little bit in our ridership. We're hoping to see more. But yeah, so that's pretty successful. And these are just our system-wide service characteristics. We had 9,237 demand response trips, which is an 18% increase from last year. Our fixed route trips decreased 7%. And then our total trips were 24,425, which is 2% increase. Yeah, so we're still pretty happy with staying around the same numbers. Trip denials is something that we're having troubles with. So one of the issues, and I'll probably talk more about it too, is breaching the needs of our service contracts that allows us to bring down more state funding as well as like meeting the demand of our demand response. It's a kind of a balancing act, and I'll talk more about that. So that's where the 15% of trip denials comes from, is that we're losing drivers and we're losing vehicles. And so we saw an increase in our personal trips, increase in shopping, and my favorite is the increase in education. My favorite thing is whenever we have our quarterly reports and I'm able to see, like, okay, it's August, like, yay, we had like 50 more people take C-cards because of school.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we had an uptick in our senior trips this year as well, and an uptick in our Lyft use. So that means more people who are needing the paratransit service are getting it, and that's a good thing to be seeing. And this is just a breakdown of our grant funding from this last year. We received federal funding of, $177,000. And then we get our DOPE, Downstate Operating Assistance Program funding, which covers 65% of our operating expenses. Mm-hmm. So we need to find a match to receive the total amount of that funding. So that's where that drop comes from. And then we used our CARES funding this year. We had a project in the previous year where we were trying to put in shelters for the Rantoul stops. Mm-hmm. We weren't able to finish that project, so we were able to put that money back into their services last year. Yeah.
Real quick, talking about the state, you said we still need to find match funding to get the 780?
Yeah, okay. About $300,000 is still being left.
So we're
table.
Short.
Yep.
That amount, okay.
Yeah.
Because the only contracts that we have are the Rantoul contract and now the university contract. But that's about $120,000, $130,000.
Yes.
Right.
And we cannot use the project income, which are the first, as match for the state funding that we receive. And we are looking to have more contracts. But because we don't have vehicles, we can't do that.
Right.
That's one thing. And the second thing is we are having problems hiring operators.
Yeah, drivers.
Mm-hmm. Because the salaries that we offer are lower than, for example, MTV riders.
Yeah.
Right. But we don't have the money to increase the salaries. Then it's a balancing act that we are dealing with, but hopefully we'll be able.
Yeah.
Do they need CDLs?
No, not need CDL for C-cars.
So just a regular passenger.
That's why the salary is lower.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
They're 14 passenger cutaway for short.
Right.
And like we recently, we recently had IDOT come down. I think it was October to discuss kind of just where we were and the issues that we've been having this last year. Because yeah, we are leaving money on the table, and we just kind of had to tell them like, there is a need in the community. Like we've had outreach from Muhammad and St. Joe to try and have service contracts with them. I don't have drivers to be able to provide those trips. I don't have vehicles to be able to provide those trips. So it's like, how do I start those conversations and not just like leave them disappointed? Mm-hmm. So hopefully we complained enough to our IDOT people that they're working on stuff to try and get us those vehicles in any way, shape, and form they can. So knock on wood, we'll see. Hopefully spring will be fine with it. So these are our main takeaways from this last year. We had operator vehicle shortages, which presented challenges. I believe we have about 8 operators now, when we have 11 vehicles. And so that's, we have vehicles just not being able to be rent like on the streets. And we've had the delay in receiving the vehicles from IDOT and our federal grants. Our ridership stayed about the same, and we had our increased number of trips of older adults and people with disabilities, as well as shopping and educational trips. And so our focus for this next year, we're maintaining service and staff levels. So fingers crossed, I'm gonna be working with our transit manager, Clint, with C-Carts to try and at least go to like Parkland career fairs, try and see if we can get more people interested in the service there. We spoke with our IDOT representatives about how the paratransit drivers at MTD are getting paid just like a dollar more than C-Cart drivers. And so that's hopefully something we're gonna be able to close the gap on, knock on wood again. But that would hopefully help at least meet where we are with where people need to be paid to be able to drive the buses. And we are hopefully gonna be receiving our awarded replacement vehicles from IDOT, including that 5339, and we're investigating additional funding opportunities. So the main thing that we would like to do is provide Medicaid-sponsored trips, which are people who have Medicaid, they can get their trips paid for with their insurance. In the past, it had been a really, really complicated and difficult system, and a lot of responsibility put on transit agencies to take like the brunt of the payment. It would take like up to 3 months sometimes for the government to be, or Medicaid services to pay the transit providers back. Now it's about a week. That's changed. So hopefully since the system and the way they've been organizing everything is a little more streamlined, we'll be able to introduce those Medicaid sponsored trips with us. Because right now it's just, we don't have the capacity of admin to be able to offer that. But it's really something that we need to be doing to breach that additional funding to be able to extend what we've been offered. We've been having pushback from some important figures in the C-Carts world, and it's trying to balance how much can we put responsibility on people who already been stretched out so thin with all their job responsibilities, and adding this additional kind of another responsibility is going to be difficult, but hopefully it's needed. We need to be doing it. So, yeah. And now I would have you guys ask any questions about the service or any experiences that you've had with C-Carts.
What is the match? Is it 80-20, 90-10?
65-35.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. 65-35, and you cannot use the fares as match. You cannot use advertisement as a match.
It's a lot of hoops to jump through.
Yes, then that's why we are looking at Medicaid trips, because they pay more than the regular trips. Mm-hmm. We get more back. And then with that, we know that we'll have an increasing demand. But at this time, without having vehicles, we cannot push it. That's one thing.
Yeah.
Without having drivers, then we cannot push it. Then in order for us to get vehicles, to start providing the service, get an increase of funding to be able to pay more and then hire more drivers and keep the drivers. Then it's a balancing act, as Emma said. But this last year has been really challenging for us. We have, as Lima mentioned, in the last 3 months, we have had 3 vehicles down with repairs, and each repair is $7,000. Mm-hmm. And we have the money, and we have to pay $20,000 to keep the vehicle running, but the vehicles are over 250,000 miles.
Right.
That makes sense? No.
When we're supposed to be expecting some new ones, and it's like, do we just keep pouring into this pot?
And that's the reason for the high trip denial.
Yes,
Because we are not able to accommodate everyone that is a requesting trips.
Yeah. And it's not great. I'm like, I don't want to be doing that. Yeah, it's not something we want to be doing, but it's a shame.
Yes. It has been challenging for us.
Well, thank you for your transparency in both your successes and your big challenges right now.
I just have a question on the registered riders page. I might have missed this, and I'm sorry if I did, but why are you still using the 2010 census numbers?
Because there were, honestly, I think it's because I haven't updated them since I started last year. And I know there was issues with the 2020 stuff, and that's why I think we've just been using that as guideline, but I should update it.
I mean, I just wondered.
The main reason is we have concerns about the population, the community, the changes in population. Then we took some pause and decided if we were going to update them, and we never did it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
This kind of has... It does have something to do with this, but then it doesn't. We've got that opioid task force meeting coming up too, and I'm wondering if maybe we can earmark some of those funds for this, maybe even closing the gap on that salary for a little bit or whatever. I don't know, to try to get some of this match. I don't want to see all of it there because I'm really, really high on the schools having a part of that. But just in the back of my mind, I'm wondering if there's something we can do to...
Could be our swan song.
Yeah. Help close the gap on some of the salary. I mean, I know we don't have the equipment, but we're still missing drivers.
Yeah.
And we still need drivers to get people to appointments, which affect our whole county. So,
and we have
Just throwing it out there. Yeah. Out of the box.
We had conversations with some representatives of the opioid task force in the beginning of this year. And it was, Rita, you can share more about that.
We didn't get anywhere because we started the conversation, and at the end, the conversation ended on, okay, give us the list of people who need transportation services, and we'll work with you and these people to provide rights for them and get paid for those rights. At the end, the list that we received was 5 people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We need to work with our drug court on that.
Five people. Yes, we had meetings with them. 5 people. And like, that's easy for us to accommodate on the regular schedule that we have. Then just let them know that we are available and they need to call us.
Yeah. And like, we have the time in the morning that 5 a.m. I think it says on this one. Yeah. Here it is. The 5 until 8 a.m. in the morning, that's our Rantoul fixed route. Right. And so we've had really struggled with meeting the on-demand request at that time because, we're having issues with finding drivers and the vehicles. But we do have availability in the midday. And so that's what we were telling them at the opioid task force, like, if you guys have any midday trips, we're all open. Like, let me know and we can try to set things up. We were kind of left with...
Yeah, and the other thing that we told them is it would be great if we can coordinate with the agency providing the services for these people, that we can schedule the trips at a regular time, that we can incorporate that into our schedule to work with them and have everything coordinated, because otherwise we have to serve the whole community, and if we just provide service to the people who need opioid services, then it's going to be called a charter service.
That's different.
And
we accommodate them, we can accommodate them, but we need to work with the scheduling agencies and then go from there. That stopped there. Then we just received the list, and that was it.
Yeah. If you guys would bring up the topic in that opioid task force
meeting
and just see where they are with that,
yeah,
that'd be awesome.
20-something, I think, or whatever.
That's what I thought.
18, whatever, it's, it got moved. 13, 14, somewhere in there.
No, I won't be there then.
Yeah, and that's another thing with service contracts. It's kind of a, another balancing act.
Next 3 weeks, I got something every day.
Yeah. How do we have these contracts with these entities that need services and not have it a charter service? You know, because it's like, we want them to have reliable rides, but we still need to make it sure that's a public service that people aren't missing. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of ways to grab more money.
Yeah.
In our community, when money's tight, is very difficult. So you almost have to look at, you know, what kind of opportunities maybe some of these other groups or entities have that they can participate, where we can
work
use it
together
as part of a match.
Yeah.
Collaboration is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're leaving on the table $200,000 every year.
Yeah, and I don't see the village increasing their dollar amount. They're kind of strapped for that right now.
Yeah, it's... And, like, we have been, we have the outreach from, like, Muhammad and St. Joe of wanting a similar service to what Rantula is getting, but they're stretched thin for money. And it's like, I don't know where to meet them in that that scale of how to help them and not, deny them things. Yeah.
We'll get through it. We'll get some buses, we'll get through it.
Great presentation. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
No, there's no vote needed on that. We don't need to approve anything, right?
We need it.
Do?
To accept it.
Sorry. I guess we do.
To
approve the budget.
Okay, we need a motion.
So moved, Carter.
Second, Sexton.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
Right. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks.
All right, we'll move on down the agenda to item number 9. This is our annual estimate of maintenance costs for work that we do here at the Highway Department. We have to send this in at the beginning of each year and kind of guesstimate, if you will, our MFT estimate for maintenance. Mm-hmm. You see on here there's items such as rock and pavement striping and our salt and calcium and crack sealers, culverts, our hot mix, which we use to do some patching on our roads, all of our signs and posts. The HFRS2P is actually asphalt emulsion that we use to seal coat our roads. Mm-hmm. And then some riprap and cold mix, which is what we use in the wintertime when the hot mix plants aren't open. If we have any potholes or anything that breaks off on the edge, we need to use cold mix in order to repair those and hopefully hold them up until spring and summer come. But our roads are in pretty good shape, as is evidenced by Diane saying that her husband just drove across one.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Brand new road. So that road is open to traffic. It's all done for the most part. There's some signs that still need to be installed, but the road from Philo over to 45, just north of Toano, is complete. That was our big project this year, as far as construction goes. But this is just our maintenance money. This is what we buy, what we contract with to keep the roads in good shape. Are there any questions related to the estimate of maintenance costs for 2025? Yes, ma'am.
Once again, I know I'm a broken record, but our motor fuel fund, that tends to go up and down, and it's shrinking.
We've done a really good job in the last few years of getting federal dollars to do our road projects, so we have a nice balance in our motor fuel tax fund, but we have a big project that Jenny has just started on for next year to go from Sydney over to Homer and then on over to the East County line. We don't have any federal money that we've been able to get for that project, so that's going to be a big project as far as motor fuel tax funds go and paying for that. So that will bring our balance down quite a bit. People are driving again. Gas prices are relatively good. So our MFT is kind of restabilized. It's not, hasn't grown a lot in the last couple years, but we feel confident that we're going to continue to see the same amount that we're seeing now. Okay. We lost the RBI money. Yeah. Well, we didn't lose it. We spent it all.
Right.
So
I know there was a point where we were going to be right on the edge.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
Yeah.
And the townships are complaining because we just did their, so every township has to do an estimate of maintenance costs, and they do that with me. So there's 28 townships, so I got to wrangle up 28 different guys to get them to tell me what they're going to do, which is quite challenging sometimes. But, you know, their total of funds in their motor fuel is significantly less because there's no RBI money, which was the Rebuild Illinois money that Emma was talking about, that they got some for their buses. And we've used all that up. It all had to be expended by July of 2025, but we got it spent a little quicker than that. So now that money's not in their program anymore. So they're all like, I got a lot more money last year. Yeah, well, the RBI money's gone. I don't know if there'll be another round of that coming in the future. We sure hope that there will be. But it's nothing that we're banking on, and it's nothing that is in my estimate of maintenance costs. This is just all of our standard motor fuel tax money that we receive.
Yep, thanks.
Any other questions? All right, so to go along with that estimate of maintenance costs, we have to do a resolution, send that down to IDOT. It's the IDOT standard form that they request that we use. We did add Samantha and Steve's name to the side so that they could be signatories as well. But this just basically resolves that we're going to take the money that's in our maintenance estimate of $950,000 and set it aside for the year for maintenance. Now, at the end of the year, we also have to do what's called a maintenance expenditure statement, which says, okay, you gave us $950,000 to do all this stuff. Here's what we spent it on. And usually there's like a balance, maybe it's $100,000 or less. That money stays in our motor fuel tax. We don't have to give it back, but we just say, you gave us $950 for our maintenance. We only spent $850, so there's $100,000 left over, and that just stays in our motor fuel tax fund account as a balance that we get to use in the following years. So we actually do need a motion for the resolution of maintenance. Item number 10.
So
move, Carter.
Second, Michaels.
Excuse me. It's been moved and second. It's open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
All right, the next one is a yearly resolution as well. As some of you may remember, some of you may not. County engineers in the state of Illinois have a six-year contract with the county that they're working with. Mine is in its, this will be the third year, so it goes all the way till 2028. It started in 2022, I believe. But that contract set forth all the, you know, everything as far as my compensation and the vehicle and the money that is set aside for travel and expenditures as well. So this resolution basically just goes back to the contract and says, this is the amount that was contracted for me as the county engineer. So there's a resolution there. And then there's also, since this resolution doesn't really lend itself to being able to put Steve and Samantha's name on there, we have to do an additional resolution, which gives the authority of the county clerk to certify and submit the resolution to IDOT. So that what happens is, since we're in the county engineer's salary program, half of my salary comes from the motor fuel tax fund and half of it comes from federal aid funds.
Right.
So it's kind of a swap that happens internally with IDOT. We don't ever see it on our end, really. It's just, it's money that they take from the federal aid money that they get and put it into our motor fuel tax fund to pay for my salary. So since we're in that salary program, and that's something that we have to do every 4 years or so, is say, yes, we want to participate in the salary program. So those resolutions kind of go together. Items, what is that, 11 and 12. I would ask for your approval of those resolutions.
So moved, Sexton.
Second, Carter.
It's open for discussion.
Thank you for your professionalism.
Well, I love working with this committee. I hate to see those of you that are not going to be here next year not be here. I'm sure the chair
this
will
is a
carry
favorite,
on.
Folks. This is a favorite.
Yeah. We'll come
this
back
is a favorite. Yeah. Sitting in the peanut gallery waiting for a donut.
Diane was on, and then she left, and she became auditor, and then she came back. And now she's on again. We're going to lose
bad penny. You can't get rid of her.
I know.
She'll be back again.
We can only hope.
I'm just saying.
All this messiness.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Thank you very much. The last resolution is for contract award authority. As you know, we just talked about the maintenance estimates that I do with the townships. There's, I believe, 10 different townships this year that are going to bid their aggregate. We have a big aggregate letting. The county's on there as well. And, you know, we get bids for aggregate, which is hauled from the stockpile or from the quarry to the stockpiles of each township. And it's something that, by some kind of statute, the county needs to award these aggregate because it's kind of a, you know, a thing that all the townships do together, and have them awarded separately would be kind of messy. So this gives me the authority to award those bids. We'll probably get two or three bids for each township, and we'll pick out the lowest one, and we'll award them as an aggregate of all those township bids. And that is coming up, when did we set that? December the 4th?
December 10th.
10th? So that bid is going to be on December 10th. And I always bring the bid tabs back to the Highway Committee at the next meeting and kind of let you know what happened with those bids as well. But I would ask for your approval to give me the authority to award those aggregate contracts.
So moved, Michael.
Second, Carter.
Open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
And then under the, there is an addendum that you should have all received.
Right.
Under that addendum and other business, there is a semi-annual review of the closed session minutes. Diane has the verbiage to read from the state's attorney.
Yeah, Madam Chair, can I read the addendum? Okay. Pursuant to the statutory requirement to conduct a semi-annual review of all closed meeting minutes, I move to follow the state's attorney's recommendation for all closed session minutes to remain closed.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
That's all I have, Madam Chair.
Okay. Is there any other business that the committee want to present?
I just do really want to say thank you to everybody on the committee. I hope the ones that stayed on the board will get reappointed to the Highway Committee. That would be awesome. And the three that aren't going to be back, we'll miss you.
Thanks.
That's for sure.
Thanks.
I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
So there's no other business. No chair report. Designated thing to go on the consent agenda would be
10, 11, and 12. And I guess the C cards too, sorry. 8, 10, 11, and 12.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? If not, we're adjourned.
Thank you.
Yeah, the resolution for the townships.
Oh, sorry. Yep, sorry. 8, 10, 11, 12, and 13. My fault. Everybody okay with that? Before I turn off the recorder here.